So here we are and the system is broke. American dream has gone up in smoke. So stop sitting there all broken hearted. Let's get this motherfucking party started. Lady Liberty is ringing a bell, and we're driving us straight into hell. But don't worry, we got what you need.
I wanted to get that. You piece of shit, Andrew.
Nothing happened.
No, nothing happened at all. Welcome, everyone, to the A Better Way to A podcast. I'm your host, Jordan, and Andrew's with us also. We have two episodes in a row now because he hasn't left his chair since the first one, and we've not allowed him to miss another one. This episode, we've got Zach from Panther City Tactical. I know you've never heard of Panther City Tactical if you've ever listened to any of our other episodes. Zach is our good friend. He has sponsored the show multiple times. He's also not a piece of shit. He sells really cool shit on his website that is also not a shitty website. You should definitely go there and buy some stuff from him. Zach, Panther City Tactical, welcome. Thanks for coming on the show, man.
You're welcome. Hello.
Zach, we've talked about this. Actually, I don't think we've talked about this for a while. I think we've kind of like both. It's kind of like when there's sexual tension between friends and nobody says anything. Always. It's like we've had that tension, but it's been podcast tension. We both wanted to ask, but we're too scared to because we weren't sure if we were going to get rejected by the other person.
Ask what?
Yeah. Yeah, that's how I feel all the time.
Yeah. Dude, so tell us a little bit about yourself. You are the owner of Panther City Tactical and just a good guy in general.
I mean, you're saying it, not me, but yeah, sure. I don't know. where do you want me to start? You want me to start at my childhood or beginning of starting this business?
What possessed you to get into the gun industry selling parts and accessories?
Okay. If we want to start the beginning of the business. Oh man, that makes me like, here's my ADHD. It makes me want to go all the way back to the beginning of like, when's the first time you looked at a gun?
I felt a stirring in my loins.
So I've been self-employed since like 2013. I worked at...
Oh, congrats.
My last job was Best Buy, and it was paying me absolutely nothing, working part-time. And I was in the video, kind of like video film industry. And so I knew I could make more money just like PAing on TV and movie sets and stuff or whatever, like once a week, even then working all week at Best Buy. So anyway, that's a whole other thing. But basically I started a video production company. I've been doing video production since 2013, and around the pandemic, all of my video stuff just dropped off and it never quite recovered. Like I lost a bunch of clients, people went out of business, all this stuff.
And probably some of them died.
Yeah. Some of them died, you know, here and there, but then, you got these like
fact
sometimes with video production, I might have three projects a month that are huge projects. I might go 2 months with no work. And so I had this kind of gap in my schedule. I helped my wife's friend build an AR for her husband for Christmas. And she was like, wow, you should do this as a job. And I was just like, great, I get to build another AR. That was a lot of fun. But then I started thinking about it. So my wife has a plant business. She sells plants online. StayInAliveSucculents.com.
That makes a lot of sense.
So that's cool. We had spent the last few years, she started a website during COVID, and we kind of had this is ADHD trail. It's going to be all over the place. So
go, 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 go.
So we basically spent between starting 2020, she put a website up because we were stuck at home. We needed to mail stuff out. So we spent a couple years really learning e-commerce. And before that, we had already had dabbled in e-commerce with eBay and stuff. So like we understood the e-commerce world, shipping stuff from home, packing, shipping, all that stuff. So I understood that part of it. And I was like, what if I took all the stuff I know from my wife's plant business, and instead of plants, I just sold gun parts? That sounds like a fun thing to do. And so I'm extremely impulsive. And I just was like, well, I have like $700 in my checking account. That's enough to start an LLC and like just like spend all this money and like got a business started up out of nowhere. opened a business credit card and was like, huh, here's my max limit. I'll just spend all that on inventory and just see what I can put on the website.
Dude, that sounds so familiar.
Yeah. And, you know, sometimes you just make these impulsive decisions and it kind of just like, it's kind of like I just did it. I just jumped in because it sounded fun. And I was like, this will be a cool way to get gun parts into the house and not have like my wife judge me. So I'm like, oh, I could just get it. It's all inventory.
Yeah, so this is business, babe.
Yeah, don't worry about it. And so it kind of just like, I just jumped into it. And then it's like, well, I need to make I kind of want to carry this other product and this other product. Oh, this store is not really well-rounded. It needs flashlights. And now it needs optics. And now it needs, and it just kind of kept growing and growing and growing. And this was just kind of supposed to be my side business. But here we are. It takes up 25 hours a day of my time. So that's how I feel that. Started.
But at least it's paying the bills, right, Zach?
No, absolutely not.
Oh. I'm like, Andrew, what is every conversation we've ever had with Zach composed of?
Oh, no.
Asking, Jordan, how do you make money off of this? I don't.
How far are you from being profitable on Panther City Tactical, if you don't mind my asking?
Well, I've just like recently started my own payment plan to myself where I put money aside every week. So as of right now, I mean, I would say I'm profitable, but it's I guess the thing about my business, and we're going into year four next year. This is finishing up year three in business. I've taken like basically every bit of money I make, I reinvest it into the business. If I'm not secretly funneling it into my own like ammo funds or whatever, because I'm just like, I'll just put that on the company card. Everything
it's
I
advertising.
Do, I put it back into the business. This is why I've grown. This is why I started with like, oh, here's a few like Radian Talon safety selectors. And now I have a whole guest bedroom full of inventory because I just keep buying more stuff and expanding the site for more and more things that I want to carry. And so basically all the money's been going back into it. I've kind of gotten to a place where I've started to level out with not jumping into so much new inventory. And so now I'm starting to kind of pay myself a little bit. It's just right now, it's just barely enough to cover my end of the month bills that I'm making off that. And then my video business, I have a few video projects over here and there that kind of make me the final bit of money I need. So it's not super lucrative, but it's a lot of fun.
Dude, it's well, wild.
We're so fucking glad you're here, dude.
Yeah, I agree. it's so funny that because you're website is super good looking. I was like one of the first things that I mentioned to you, I think, when we started talking about it was you're welcome. And I was like, yeah, this is like, it's a very, I don't mean this in a condescending way, but whenever people who have not seen A Better Way 2A's website see it for the first time and they're like friends of mine and they don't really know what I do, they go, wow, this looks professional. Yeah, what'd you fucking think I did? Like, what do you mean? What were you expecting? Like a fucking Tumblr account or something like that? And it's funny because I think when people see the website, yours and mine, they think it's a much bigger operation than what it is.
Oh yeah, and I get these messages all the time. I'm sure you do too, where they're like, "Hey team, like you guys are so good." I'm like, "It's me. It's you're talking to
yeah.
me."
Yeah, can
guys.
I speak to someone from your sales department? Yeah, sure. I'll be right there.
I'll get. Hold on. People will talk to me about stuff Jordan's doing and be like, "You guys are on it," and I'm like, "I didn't do that. I didn't."
I don't correct them though. Like when people say, I've actually had people message me and say, "I love what you two are doing." And as far as I'm concerned, if their interaction with A Better Way 2A is the podcast, then it is us two. So I'm like, thank you, man. Sure. Appreciate that.
Yeah, yeah.
You know? I'm not going to be like, actually, Andrew only comes to 40% of the podcast episodes. And I do all this bullshit because I'm a glutton for punishment. No. But yeah, Zach, I think when you're starting out, and I think that, like when, if you want the business to get to a point where you are making money off of it, I think you're doing everything right because it looks like a solid business already. And it is a solid business, but you're doing like I did for a long time, just reinvesting everything into the business. And your wife is like, aren't you spending time doing this? Where's the money? And you're like,
yeah,
I don't
exactly.
know.
That's actually, but that's how it is with startups and, you know, self-employment. A lot of people don't realize you can't pay yourself for a long time.
You gotta realize like business. Well, my wife's coming from a totally different industry. So she's, and before that, we're coming from both having a video production background. Oh, great. I go charge $3,000 for a project. Sure. I have some costs. I have equipment and stuff, but that's all almost labor that's coming straight into my pocket at the end of the day. With this, it's like she's buying and selling plants, but plants have a much bigger margin. I'm like, hey, I bought this trigger for $90 and I sold it for $100. And she's like, what are you doing? Why are you doing this? I'm like, no, that's just, that's the price. That's the normal price for this stuff. So it's definitely tough with such small margins, which is why you can't, unless you have a ton of money behind you, you can't exist as a shop only reselling parts. Like you have to eventually, like you have to do such huge volume to make that work. Or you have to eventually move on to some sort of branded things or high margin things. I mean, even things like shirts and stickers and all that, you can actually like obviously have a decent margin on that. But when I'm just like, when the store was starting up and it was just, I'm buying four or five parts at a time from my distributor. And meanwhile, you know, the big companies down the street are selling them at a 5% margin. Like it's really hard to make any money. You're basically just doing it to kind of build your reputation at that point.
Yeah.
Well, you know, and I always liked the kind of ethos of your store, as opposed to a lot of other retailers where like you're only, you know, you're reselling the stuff. You're a retailer, you're selling the accessories. But also on top of that, it's like, here is a specific list of really high quality essential accessories, not like here's a huge catalog with like some good stuff and a lot of bullshit in it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It's like putting the like premium stuff next to the fucking Temu grade, high margin garbage. So it's like you're telling people like, I guarantee on my reputation that what you can find on my store is going to work well. It's not going to get in your way. And, you know, it's, you know, these are all things that are essential in some sense to the operation of this rifle in a defensive capacity.
Yeah. So I went into this starting at my business. I knew what I wanted, and what I never took a business class. I'm not a business major. I run my own business, but I'm not like that great with numbers. So this was all vibes. My whole store is vibes of what feels right. It was not it wasn't like, hey, this makes sense. This has a good margin. This is profitable. This is popular. Like these will sell. It was like, I want this. I'm going to make my store this. And then
vibes,
you know, is a business plan.
That didn't make you a lot of money when you were reselling other people's accessories. But now you've established that you have really good taste and you understand, like, you know, what parts and what makes a good and functional, you know, piece of a rifle. Right.
Yeah.
So now you make your own products like the Sex Panther synthetic gun lube, or now you're ordering your own. I don't know if these are white label or if they're manufactured just for you. But you know, these are well, you know, these are now branded lower receivers with well thought out feature sets.
I'm going to assume based on every single AR manufacturer and company out there that they're probably white label, but made from a good product and people buy them to support you.
Yeah.
You know, that's what I've found is like most of the, not all of the industry, there's definitely companies that are making like completely manufacturing their own things, but a huge majority of this industry,
I'd say over 75%. Our white label products.
The higher quality companies that aren't manufacturing it themselves, what they're doing is they're having one of like a very small handful of manufacturers make their products, and then they're doing additional QC on it, and they're doing checks and making sure they're gauging things and make that. And that's where you get like Sons of Liberty Gunworks is one of the, I sell the same parts as them, but I know that they have I don't know what their QC is different than mine on some products, but I know for certain they have certain products that I could buy, but they're sending out to get certain testing done. So it's all like, you know, a lot of these companies are sourcing for them from the same place, but they're just doing different levels of quality control and checks and making sure right. It's up to their specific company standards that they want.
It's interesting because that's typically what we tell people when they buy a lower priced item. You know, there's tons of people out there who will say just as good. And there's not just as good, but there might be just as good. But what you're paying for is the quality control. You're paying for the fact that like most of the time, I mean, in some aspects, you're paying for better materials. There are definitely better materials used out there for AR parts than other companies that sell things for cheaper. But QC is labor intensive. So when you have higher, yeah, you have higher levels of quality control, it's going to be more expensive. And that's not to say that you aren't going to get a good product at a lower price, but you're taking a gamble that one fell through the cracks of this like more budget tier option that is not necessarily going to fall through the cracks of a company that invests more in quality control.
Yeah. I could really go down that rabbit hole too. It's hard. Like once you start to learn, you know what, I'm sure you, but one of you, if not both of you, know the term for this, but there's that term where it's like, you don't know anything. You start to learn something. You feel like you know a lot. And then you learn a little more and you realize you don't know anything. You know,
Dunning-Kruger or something. No.
Yeah. The Dunning-Kruger
effect. Is that it?
I think the Coriolis effect.
I think I've heard it described as like the less you know, the more confident you are about it. But also
it's like the more I learn about the AR-15 platform, you know, if I compare it to what I knew 5 years ago, I would feel like I'm an expert now. But where I'm at now, I feel like now I'm realizing that I don't know anything because I know so much that I know the things that I don't know. So I'm like still trying to like reach that expert level.
The actual definition is a cognitive bias where people with low competence in a particular area overestimate their own abilities, while highly competent individuals tend to underestimate theirs. So people with limited knowledge lack the self-awareness to recognize their own shortcomings, where experts are aware of the vastness of the subject matter and the complexity of tasks, which can lead to underconfidence. So like you start out and you're like
how hard
I know everything, or I know everything. Yeah. How hard could it be? And then you get really good at it and you've got like, or you start training or whatever, and you start getting into your field. And you're like, wow, this is great. I'm much better at this and more confident at it. And then you realize like you're just scratching the surface and you're like, holy fuck, I don't know any of this.
Like I'm definitely a much better shooter than I was 5 years ago, but now doing competitions and stuff, like I see how terrible of a shooter I am, even though I'm like such a better shooter.
Yeah,
because for like sure. you see all the ways exactly that you're not good at something.
We did a joke about that when we went to Woodland Brutality with no preparation, where we're just gonna be like, no negativity, positive vibes only.
I love that you just jump into a major competition like that, like barely prepared at all.
Do you love that? Do you like that? Do you want us to do that again?
You can either choose to prepare a little bit and harp on the fact that you're going to suck, or not prepare at all and just have a great time and suck. We had a great time, and like, you know,
when I could actually shoot the fucking match, I did all right.
Yeah, like I listen, neither one of us are like winning any trophies, but it's a great time and there's a bunch of great people there, and if we had more time to practice and like actually prioritized it, then we'd be better. But it's amazing how that works. But or we could just make a funny video.
Tune into a Better Way to A for great insights like that.
Yeah, train more, you get better.
Hey, training is important. I wish that there were some brutality matches like in Oklahoma or somewhere. I feel like nobody ever does anything in Texas. Everything's always in like Appalachia or like the desert. Like there's no in between. Like
Zach, we should do it. We should
do it. Do it. A Better Way to A Panther. We should do brutality.
Lone Star Kindness.
Yeah. Woodland Brutality, Lone Star Kindness.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Lone Star.
Just be prepared to run it on your own.
Yeah.
Just me and Andrew out there. Andrew shows up.
Just the two of us.
My ammo at home.
Andrew, I hope it doesn't hurt your feelings when I say stuff like that.
Yeah. Yeah. Hey, he's like attaching his new optic he just bought onto his gun.
100%. Still in the box.
You have a bore sight, bud? Sorry, I'll walk it on paper.
Yeah. You know, it's fine.
I hope it doesn't hurt your feelings when I make fun of your chaotic life, Andrew.
But I was saying, so you established that you had a great eye for what features you want on a rifle. You have a great eye for like which products work well, and then you start making your own. You make the lube that is, you know, at a time when like, you know, nobody knows the fucking difference between grease and oil, and I'm over here like a fucking autist. I'm like, grease, grease is what you want, you morons. And then this guy comes out of nowhere and he's like, you know, you're like, oh, I've got your grease. You know,
So the lube, first of all, the lube, Sex Panther gun lube, I made it. I mixed some products together, the products I was looking for. I did a few tests. I found a ratio I liked, and it just like, I feel like I just stumbled into it. It just works. Like, I literally have never had it let me or anyone else down in any condition whatsoever. Like, it just somehow keeps working all the time.
Do you know why?
Why? Because it's grease?
Because it's fucking good.
Oh, thank you.
Because it's grease.
Yeah. No, because it's grease.
But yeah.
Yeah.
Like, it's hard. I'm saying, like, I feel like I can't take credit for it because, I mean, I kind of can because I mixed the ratio together. But at the same time, like, I didn't mix this up in a laboratory. Like,
well, okay, what motivated you to use grease? Because I was on the grease train for a long time ever since I got cherry bombs and read his whole fucking spiel about it. But what sold you on grease over just oil?
So what I had seen basically online is a lot of people were using a popular mix of like grease and oil. They were like mixing it together at their house. And so I was like, okay, I want to try making my own lube literally just for me. And
like, I bet.
Yeah,
so continue. Please continue.
We got good reviews, I'll tell you that much.
Listen, this is a serious, my Sex Panther is a serious product.
You can't sexualize the Sex Panther, okay?
It's serious. No, don't do that.
So I found like a high quality oil, a high quality grease, I mixed them together to like the consistency where I call it loogie consistency, where it like it's stuck in the back of your throat. Like it's like it won't drop off of a spoon when I'm mixing it. But it's not like too thick. So
it's not like peanut butter.
No. So it's this great consistency. I made it for myself. I tried it out. I did some temperature tests. I just literally bought like a cast iron thing. How hot do you like it? Well, I got up to like 450 degrees, I think. So yeah, it basically all worked out. And then once I had it and I was like, wait, I should just put this in bottles and sell it. And I started like, that's where the hardest research was like, where do I buy bottles? Like all the like, man, all the information for packaging was the part that took the longest, but making the grease itself, it kind of just came together and it just has worked. But I made it specifically because I got my first suppressor, still my only suppressor, and I have spent a decade being like a boomer that just like pours CLP on his guns and that's it. That's the extent of everything I do.
Gunzilla.
When I got a suppressor, all of a sudden that CLP was dried up in like 10 rounds, like shooting my AR. And my guns were super dry and then caked in carbon. So I wanted to do a grease-based lube. And then it worked perfectly, exactly what I was looking for, suppressed. And so then I bottled it. But all this, just like my whole website, this is all just like for me. It's like, oh, I want this. Well, I'll make it available for other people too. But like, I've decided that I want this and I've tried it and I like it. So it just worked out. So
it's funny. I'm looking at your website and I tell people all the time that you should shop from Panther City Tactical because he doesn't suck. And people know what I mean when I say that, because there's so many people in the gun space that suck. that know if you're supporting like literal fascists. And I'm not using that word like figuratively.
There's in the mamby-pamby way.
Yeah. And I'm like looking, I'm like, yeah, you know what? Like, let me look at the Sex Panther, and I go to other, and the first thing on here is the PCT guilt reduction / purchase forgiveness device, and it's
that's
one
what
of your
I was saying. That's why I said that makes
dude.
Sense. That's what he she said.
Oh, see, when you said that makes sense, I was like, "The fuck does that mean?"
So, honestly, like I kind of like hid that on my website because it used to be on the front page, like featured, and I hid it because we were packing a bunch of succulents all the time. It was kind of annoying, but I've honestly forgotten that that's on there. And then every once in a while, I'll be like looking down my packing list for a customer's order. And I'll be like, succulent. I have to go like, do we have any succulents? Like, I have to go find some in the backyard or something.
Like, awesome. No, I love it, man. I am wholeheartedly on board with the idea that forgiveness is easier than permission. But it doesn't mean it's better. I'm just saying, but if you have to buy gun parts, you should buy a succulent for that special someone also.
That's pretty funny. You know,
man or woman, because succulents are gender neutral and everybody likes a little plant to take care of.
Right. You know, they're great.
Unless
they're
your boomer parents are constantly bringing plants over and they're a source of stress for you, in which case don't do that. But
I've had customers that add a succulent every single time. I'm like, They just added on there. They want to keep their plant collection growing, and I'm their plug for the succulents, I guess.
I think succulents are great, man. They're low energy, low stress. Like, they make you feel good, add a little color to your life.
But this is what I'm talking about with the vibes, man, because like I it's not unimportant, you know, mm-hmm. to be like, you should buy a succulent for your wife when you buy something for yourself, you fucking selfish husband.
Or your husband. So like, buy it. That's what I'm saying. Buy it for the person who's got to deal with
that's
your
right,
shit.
That's right. Here's sorry the for deal, being heteronormative. Like, my bad. Like, fucking kill me.
Running, yeah, running your own business. I'm everything in my business. I'm the owner. I'm the marketing. I'm everything. I get to do whatever I want. If I think it's funny to put a succulent on my website, I get to just do that. And that alone, like, makes me happy. Just like knowing that, like, oh, I can just do this stupid thing for this business, and I don't have to act like everyone else in the industry. Oh, if I want to put a plant on my website or whatever, I want to name my lube Sex Panther, or only carry a few things, or make funny jokes on listings for products. Like, nobody, I don't have any boss telling me I need to change this. I could just do it. And so I just,
hell yeah. Listen, it seems to be working out for you, man. You tell me, but like, you're the first person you're probably the first person I regularly suggest to people who are looking for accessories and don't want to get bogged down. Like Andrew was saying, you know, like, there's a bunch of really cool websites out there that you can buy anything your heart desires. But for somebody who's new to shooting and just wants something that's going to work and that they're not going to break the bank on, or like, what I'll tell people is you can spend a lot of money and get some really good stuff, but until you know exactly what your needs are, you should spend a good amount of money on some stuff that's going to work well for you. That's quality stuff, but mm-hmm. isn't going to, like, you don't need to buy a Night Force like LPVO.
Yeah. Quality for your first... does not mean expensive.
Correct. Well,
and
correct.
I'll also say this too, that, you know, you could go down a rabbit hole of weird, like, hype beast products. And like, you know, I love Weapon Outfitters. I bought from them for a long time, you know, different stuff, but you know, it's like I'm constantly getting emails for like, you know, this just in for a limited time, old shitty night vision. You know, $4,000 just for you. You'll never get this chance again. It's like, you don't want to be like in that zone when you're just getting into your accessories. You're like, do I need that?
Like, yeah, I think a lot of these companies feel the need to like constantly have new things and constantly need to keep bringing customers in. And I'm sure once you get to a level of more than one literal employee, like one person, like at some point you have to be making sure you're not stale as a company. And that's something that I try to keep in mind, but like, I'm also trying to stay like on my mission of a business of like, only I'm not adding it unless I like it. And I think that like, it rounds out the store. Like, I'm not going to just add, I know there's products that I could add that are popular and they will sell, but I don't use them. And so I don't want to put them on the website. So like, I'm like, I don't really care about this. I don't care about a giraffe neck riser on your gun. Sure, there's use for it for people with night vision or tall ass necks, I guess.
But you're like, not selling night vision.
If you were
doing night vision and doing all that stuff, it would make sense for you to sell it. But this is what I'm talking about. This is, and this goes back to like why would people go to your site over another site? You know, because it's like you're selling stuff that you know works, and so they can trust that like when they buy it, this combination of stuff, that it's gonna work together. It's not going to be fucking weird and give them a weird equal.
There's like an element of like imposter syndrome, you know, like if I'm selling something that, I mean, I don't know if that's the right term for this, but like, I don't feel genuine if I'm selling something because it's popular, but I haven't really had time behind that product. Because then I just feel like if someone asks me, if a customer asks me a question about anything in my store, I have an answer for exactly why I'm using that and selling it. I don't want to carry something that someone asked me and I'm like, well, it says here on their website that it's, you know, like, no, I want to have an answer for why I personally am recommending that and selling it to you.
Have you thought about selling, pre-assembled like belt kits and, or like placards and stuff like that?
So I'd love to get into belts. I haven't found I personally use the AWS SMU belt. I really like that belt.
I saw one that Kenny likes. He's very autistic about it.
It's a great price belt. It's like, you know, on sale, $100-$120 or something. Like, it's not like a stupid fucking $300, $400 belt. And it's just a good solid product. And I think that they have some good products on their site. I don't think that they've opened up to dealers, but so that's the belt I use. So that's the belt I want to carry on the website. But until they let me carry it, I haven't found another belt. So I haven't even added belts, let alone pre-made ones. But then when you get into like a battle belt or like a competition belt, like everything is so purposeful for that person and how they want things laid out. I mean, generally, like yeah, you want your holster on one side and your mags on one side and maybe like a med pouch or whatever. But still, like it's something that I don't think I could like. I feel like when you get into pre-made kits like that, it reminds me of like the Amazon like tactical vests that already have all the pockets and stuff on them everywhere.
This is what I'm talking about, Zach. It's just so much fucking thought you put into this stuff. You could easily just be like, buy my $400 belt. It comes straight to you. You just slap it on. You don't have to think about it.
And you know what? The people that do that in this industry make so much money.
Yeah.
Oh, and I know. I'm over here just being poor, like a dumbass.
You're paying for a convenience, really, is like there's a lot of effort that goes into figuring out what to put on your belt, from which brand, figuring out where to put it on your belt to best fit your needs. And I've gotten that question before, too. And I've just been like, that's not even something that I feel comfortable going into because I'm barely figuring out my own shit. But there's definitely a market for that because some people just want to buy their competition setup and they want it to work. And it's like, if you buy something, if you've never shot with a belt before, you buy a belt all set up, that's going to be how you're going to practice it. And it's not like some funky design, like with like inverted mag pouches or anything like you're not wearing the whole thing upside down essentially. But, like if you buy something and that's how you're used to it, like you look at the, what is it? Commando Store does the heat rig.
Yeah. That thing's like cool. That thing's pretty cool.
That's a sexy rig.
I keep going like, to buy that and being like, I don't.
That's one
I don't
thing that this. Makes me like love Commando Store.
Yeah,
but that's a different thing because that's not like those.
When that's a very niche thing.
Yeah, that's like for the memes, you know. Like,
yeah,
like it's a useful product, right? For what it's designed to be used for, but it's also like a bit of a joke, right? Like it's also kind of like a like you know like lol. You know, from the movie. And so I think very few people are like buying that and being like, I'm going to be a serious tactical operator in this. But
that's
but
what
they
I
make
mean,
it,
though.
But they make it that's to the people, quality of like.
See, yes. I think stuff like that is fine. Like, I think there's stuff like that maybe isn't necessarily practical unless you're literally going to rob a bank. But it's super cool and it's super like interesting and unique. And like, I'm way more for that than some sort of like tactical bullshit that's like Navy SEAL operator level that doesn't make sense for 99% of the people who are buying it. Like, if you know, this is like, I'm buying this because this was in a movie and this is fucking cool. And they actually made it good quality just like this. And like, I just,
and if you
the
just,
setup,
if you
like,
just
whatever.
Wear it under your suit one time, just for a picture,
just one, like just fuck one wedding, go to one wedding with the heat rig on, just try it out.
Yeah, and then, you know, guests are gonna be like, "Bro, you've been working out. You
it's
look
just
bigger."
All flasks under there.
No, I've got 18 mags on me right now.
Oh my god! Yeah, if I was gonna do a
broad-chested mag holder,
drop of the hat, I'm ready to rock and roll.
So what I want to do eventually is my video production company. I know it's gonna die. I know Panther City is gonna be the thing that lives. And what I want Panther City to do is absorb the video production company because I have all the skills
like
that
the equipment.
Yeah, I mean, I have like cinema quality cameras and like tons of, I like, you know, $20,000 in video equipment. I do legit video, but it's going to be sucked into Panther City to do higher quality marketing. Just right now, as I'm doing everything myself, I don't have time to make these videos. But like what I want to do, if I was going to have like offer a belt on the site, I would want to make a video, you know, and a social media post and photos and stuff of like, here's how I set it up. And these are the reasons why I set it up. You can do it these other ways. But like what I would do is give people the information to then make their own informed decision on how they want to set it up based on kind of like what someone else does and how they use it. But you like, you don't have to do it this way. I'm not going to make it this way for you, but here's how you do it. Here's how we attach these pouches. Here's why we have this at this spot. And here's all the stuff if you want to buy it. So that's how I would go about it.
Yeah, that's a good way to
like that.
That's like a nice compromise, like in between the, in between.
I like to inform my customers. Like, I think it's really important to, when someone buys on my website, and this is why I don't really get any returns for my business, is I want someone to know what they're buying and why they're buying it. I try to put as much information out there as possible. Like, I don't want it to just be like, here's a giant list of products, add to cart, good luck. Like, I want it to be like, this is why you're buying it. Here's some pro tips. Don't do this or do this or realize that this paint works this way and you have to treat it this way. Yeah. And, you know, you don't get people coming back to you saying, you didn't, like, this didn't work out this way. Well, it's like, no, they don't come back to me because I gave them all the tools to use my products correctly. And, you know, some people don't read, but that's just the nature of people.
No, but, you know, yeah. That's great. Like, in your product descriptions, you have spelled out why we like these. Mm-hmm. And I feel like that's something that people don't all, you get a product description, and it tells you the materials that are made, how much it weighs, like what kind of denier fabric it is, how it hooks up to your gear, but it doesn't tell you what it's going to be good for and why you're going to benefit from it.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's something that it really, you know, I hate to be like, well, these big box stores, but like when a company is selling thousands of products, you can't have that for every single product unless that's yeah. going to be one person's grueling job to go through and be like, here, write a diary entry about every single thing and make it personal. Yeah. And like, I mean, that's not just not going to happen. You're able to do that. And I think that's great.
It's just a totally different business model, you know, like a Primary Arms or something, or Palmetto State. Like, I love these companies for what they are, but they're a totally different thing than like a really small, very focused company, which is kind of what I'm trying to focus on, very specific products. So if I have, you know, when I'm starting to get into like, you know, upper, you know, handguards, I'm going to offer like basically two different brands and a few different lengths and keep it simple instead of having, here's every single thing on the market. So you can come, you know, shop, and then it's just overwhelming. And you don't have time to kind of have that personal touch on every product that way.
Yeah. I prefer your personal touch.
I know you do.
No, but it's great. Like, you've got
take pride in knowing that every product is touched by me. Zach.
I mean, I do personally put my hands on every product that goes out the store.
Yeah, when I got my S-Tag pouches from you, I smelled some musk, and it was pretty good.
I'm sorry about that.
It's like somebody rubbed their cologne on there, but like 2-day-old cologne. Just kidding. For anybody looking to purchase from Zach, it does not smell like him. 2 days.
You might
old.
Have some dog hair in your package, but that's just part of working from home.
That's fine. Yeah, for sure.
You know, I decided like early on to do my own product photography. And that's one thing that like, I don't regret it, but that's one of the things that takes up the most amount of my time. Whenever I get a new product and I'm like, oh, God damn it. I got to go take all these photos and like set up the lighting and working in this guest bedroom where it's just chaos. I'm like, oh, I got to, my photo studio area is like covered in inventory. I got to clear all this stuff off to take pictures. And now I wish I'm like, oh man, I can see how people would just take the product photos off of the manufacturer's website and takes them 2 seconds.
Yeah. Yeah. I did my own photos for a while, and then it was getting to the point where the limited amount of time that I had, I couldn't spend taking photos. And I ended up going back to the manufacturer's photos, which I really like. I keep saying with the shirts, like I have every shirt. Like, mm-hmm. I have every shirt that I sell in the store, I have hanging up on multiple like coat racks over there. And I'm just like, one of these days, I'll take pictures. But like, then again, like, it can't be on me. I don't want to be the fucking guy in all the pictures.
Oh, why not?
So
that's what I am. Because I'm the only model for my company.
Yeah, but you don't see your face or anything. It's like, you know, I don't know. Anyway, not that we wouldn't like seeing your face, but just saying. Guys, I have to leave you. Do you want to keep? I'm just gonna keep going. I'm gonna leave, but it's gonna keep recording for you. Okay, love you. I'm sorry I can't stay longer.
It's okay. It's definitely your fault, but that's okay.
It is definitely my fault, and I'm sorry.
Enjoy your family.
Go enjoy your family. So
it is 100%
my fault. For Andrew, the listeners and viewers at home.
No, you don't have to say any of this. You don't have to say any of this. It's all gonna get cut.
Say it.
Okay.
He's going to spend time with his family. Nothing wrong with that.
All right, I love you.
I love you.
Oh.
Oh, thank God. Oh, thank God. No,
we can finally talk about things.
All right. So we were talking about you were doing your own photography.
Yeah.
For your business. So I want to say, and this kind of dovetails into the paint side of your business, which is like probably its own fucking whole topic. I just want to say that I love the way that you photograph the paints that you sell and the examples that you give. You've even got like a little section on your website for color matching, like FDE and OD from like big manufacturers.
Yeah. You want to dive into paint? Because I could talk about paint.
Yeah, dude, let's fucking talk about paint. Let's talk about paint.
Let's go back.
Paint from you, and then
because I knew when ADD, you bought that, you would not use it.
It's been sitting for more than 6 months.
Yeah,
I swear to God, I'm gonna use it on something. If I'm gonna test it on something, and then if it's
gonna
go
bad, what you need to do is in 2 years when you're ready to paint a gun. Wait until your gun is like outside in the garage, ready to be painted, and then order the paint for me.
Zach, send me the paint today.
All right, let's go back. And so, I did not see myself becoming a paint business, which is what I feel like I am now. Which is I'm totally fine with. I'm fine with having everything I want in my store, and then having one product that's like 90% of my sales, which is what paint is now. It's basically become like I'm a paint warehouse, and then all my other products are like the impulse buys at the checkout. So, like a year ago, or I guess like last spring, I had heard about Rapco Paint. I'd heard that they're like, you know, people in the like painting your gun groups or whatever. I'd seen it mentioned, and like you kind of heard that that's a really good quality thing. And so I like finally looked into it, and I was like, I want to paint a new gun, and I want to try this. So I bought it in the spring. Then you know how it is in Texas. Like all of a sudden it was like 110 degrees. I was like, well, I'm not going to go outside and paint now. Waited until the fall, painted my gun, wanted to do some sort of a specific stencil job. I wanted to do an M81 Woodland camo stencil paint. So I got the stencils, painted it. And I was like, oh my God, this paint is incredible. And this gun turned out so good. And I was talking to friends. I posted it on Reddit and I posted it on some Facebook groups, and it just got a ton of like positive feedback. People were like, you know, whatever, jerking me off or whatever. I was like, okay. So people like this. And I was like, I love this. I was like, let me just send this company an email and see if I could sell their paint. I had no idea where they were in the country or anything about them. And the owner
responds, it's supposed to be touch up paint for cars, right? It's like,
so yeah, I'll get to that. So the owner responds to me in like 3 weeks later. And it's like, sure, you can sell our paint. We're in Bowie, Texas. So Bowie, Texas is an hour and 15 minutes north east of me. So I didn't know if they were, you know, in Kansas or in Washington. Or like, I had no idea. And I was like, oh my God, y'all are so close. So I just like drove up there to talk to him about it. And I brought my gun with me to show him. So we talked about it, and he was like, yeah, you know, here's the price for wholesale. You got to buy this many cases. And I was like, I had to figure out the logistics of how to ship paint and all that, but I was like, screw it, let's do it. Like, this is awesome. I just jumped in, bought it, started telling these paint groups that I had it, and like, it just started selling, and it just hasn't stopped selling. And then what really took off was when I finally got around to getting the product photos out. You have to realize Rapco, their website was made in like 1996.
I'm familiar, I've been there.
And so having a website where someone can go navigate it easily, see clear photos of the colors, and not overpay for shipping, because they basically have one flat rate shipping that's the same if you buy a case or if you buy one can. So I have tiered shipping prices. All of a sudden, it was like all these people that wanted this paint but didn't want to buy it that way, all of a sudden were like, yes, I want to buy it now. This is so much easier. And it's just started selling like crazy. It was unexpected. It's kind of taken over my whole business, but it's really cool because I grew up a creative artsy kid, and selling spray paint is awesome to me. Like, it's such a cool, fun product to sell. But going back to what you said, yeah, it is for exterior military vehicles specifically. Like, it's meant for their main clientele is either military contractors that they sell by like the pallets of gallons to, or it's for like hobbyists who bought like an old like Willie Jeep or whatever, and they want to match this exact color from World War II that needs to be touched up on a bumper. They have the exact military color code, like colors for those.
That's so sick.
And they're made for exterior vehicle use. So they are like super, super durable, like UV resistant, water resistant. Yeah. Like,
and what do they cling to? Like, could you spray your kids' Power Wheels with this?
Yeah, probably. If it's like fairly degreased, you know, plastics and metal, it's fine. I think plastics is kind of tricky. It's like depends on the type of plastic. Because I've had a plastic ammo can I sprayed and it literally just peeled right off. But that was a really smooth plastic, weird ammo can. But yeah, it's just super, super durable paint because it's literally meant for like exterior vehicles, exterior of like military vehicles. So on a gun, it like, I mean, my gun, I've been shooting competitions with it and shooting with it for about a year now. You can't even tell that, like, it's not even wearing off the gun. So I've been calling it like Cerakote at home.
Yeah, it's crazy, man. To be able to like to just like rattle can on a like a really durable finish is just nuts to me, man. But
and for like $10 a can too, because there's like other products like Brownells, like Alumahide, people say is really good. But like a lot of those are like $20 a can. Like, it starts to get really expensive. So to be like relatively in line with like your hardware store paint prices and be such a quality paint is it's just an awesome product.
Yeah, hell yeah, dude. I'm so glad that it's taken off like that.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't expect it, but that's like the whole vibe of this business, right? Like my business is like I just kind of impulsively jump into marketplace. I didn't expect to get my FF. I didn't think I was ever going to get my FFL. I didn't ever plan on it. I was like, I don't want to do that. That's stupid. Yeah. I don't really want to sell guns. I just want to sell parts. And I just sold out of my first 25 lowers and I just ordered 100 more. I didn't know this was going to happen 2 months ago.
Like, yeah.
I just kind of dive into things and then see how it goes.
So you've got your lowers. You've got all the furniture that you like. You've got bulk carrier groups, right?
Yeah. That's kind of like a whole other rabbit hole to go down, but have them. Yes.
But you're not selling them yet.
I have bulk carrier groups. Yeah.
You are selling them. Okay.
Branded ones on the side. I only have a few and I'm kind of like always rethinking what I want to do with those.
What I was going to ask is how far do you think you are from your own, like OEM, like rifle?
So once I got I've been thinking about that this week, actually. So once I've gotten these lowers and I was like, oh my God, I have a branded lower receiver and I have all these other parts. I'm like, I'm not that far off from if I found a barrel manufacturer I liked and I found handguards that I like, that's pretty much it. Like that, I could put them together. Because I would go with the upper receiver from the same manufacturer I'm getting the lower receiver. So that's that would already be figured out. It really comes down to barrels at that point for the most part. I kind of have an idea of the rails I like already. So, but then it's just like the time of the labor. Do I want to sit there? It's probably going to be one of those things where I put together one rifle and just throw it up on the site for sale and just see what kind of demand there is and who contacts me about it and how that goes and then go, oh, this was fun. I want to do more. So
yeah. Yeah. Cause this started with you assembling rifles for people or for one person.
Yeah. For one person as a friend before I was a business, let me make that clear because I did not have my FFL and I was not a business. This is a personal project.
This was their rifle that you helped assemble.
Yes. Not, I helped assemble. Yes. Because if I was a business, that would not be super cool. But now I have my FFL. Yes, I have my 07 FFL for manufacturing. So specifically because I want the option to start building rifles. I don't know if I will. But I don't, you know, I just like having options to do stuff. So,
dude, that's so fucking sick. Okay. All right. So, like what else is in the future for the store before we start talking about like what you're doing in your spare time?
Well, right now I'm really focused on paint. So this year I'm trying to go more in a direction of branded products and products that actually make me some money. Cause I feel like I've rounded out the store with all of the categories I want for the most part. There's a few things I kind of want to add still, but I like my flashlight selection. I like my optic selection, which is just lead and steel, these guys, for now, because they're great optics and they are cool. You know, I like all these categories. They really are. I'd like to add like a med pouch, IFAC, you know, pouch at some point. I haven't found a good source for that. I'd like to add a belt. I don't know if I'll get into plate carriers and armor, maybe someday, maybe not. But overall, I like how the store is rounded out. So now I'm focusing on branded stuff. So branded lowers is really what I'm about to dive heavily into because I just think that's really cool. And I've gotten a lot of interest in them. And then paint, spray paint, adding camo stencils, designing camo stencils is one thing I'm trying to put a lot of effort into right now. So that's kind of the direction
that,
currently.
That follows, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's really
like
cool.
The sticky stencils, not the loosey goosey floppy stencils.
No, I hate those. There's different. Everyone's different. This is my whole store. What I want, right? So like,
yeah,
I want if I'm gonna do stencils on a gun, it's because I want a clean camo pattern. To do that, you want to stick, and you can cut them out of, you know, masking tape or whatever, but or painter's tape. But I do vinyl stencils, and I want the exact shapes from a certain camo pattern, and I want them to stick on the gun so it's a clean line, so it looks like it was Cerakoted in that color. And then if it wears down over time, like, I think that's awesome. That's the whole point of spray painting stuff. Like, but I want a clean camo look if I'm doing a design, if I'm not just like freehand spraying it. So I'm focusing right now on stencils for the paint. I just don't ever have time to actually work on it. So I just have two on the site, but I have a whole bunch that are in the lineup. So that's what the current focus is.
I'm so sorry. My dog is very upset.
What is your dog barking at? Have you asked your dog what they're...
There's something happening outside this room.
Do you keep the dog in the room for the podcast?
Well, she's... Okay, so this is my problem, dog. She lives in here because she can't just fucking exist with the other dogs or around people. She's a sweet dog. She's a sweet, beautiful angel. She was traumatized at a very early age. And she cannot be, it's not like she can never be around people, but I wouldn't trust her unsupervised around the kids.
Yeah, that makes sense.
I actually wouldn't trust, in an enclosed space, I wouldn't trust her supervised around the kids.
Yeah.
So it is what it is.
It's nice of you to have that dog.
Yep. It is very nice of me. It is a lot of extra
work.
Do
you like having more, do you invite more chaos into your life? Is that
what do you mean? Something?
we have a friend who, like,
what do you mean,
raising three kids, also, like, you know, manages a whole, like, vacation grounds with cabins, and she just keeps taking on new animals to, like, take care of. I'm like, why do you want more things to take over your life at all time?
Listen, man, we're doing pretty good. So we were actually dog walkers and we did dog rescue before having kids, which was all before COVID. You would be amazed how many fucking dogs we had over here at some points. There was one holiday where we had, like, between our rescues and our dogs and all the guests, it was like fucking like 25 dogs over here.
Jesus.
In our house.
It was too many. And so, I love dogs, but like, that's a lot of dogs. I love my dog more than anything, I think.
We're being very good right now. We're exhibiting a lot of self-control with getting more dogs.
Not having more dogs and goats. And do you have, like, farm animals? Do you have a chicken?
Yeah, we have chickens. Yeah, we have chickens. Okay. We're actually about to order, like, 30 more chickens.
Wow. I don't want chickens. I just want, like, someone in my family or a neighbor to have chickens so I can reap the benefits without taking care of them whatsoever.
Yeah, so you can be a fucking freeloader.
Yeah, that's fine. I mean, they got all these extra eggs. What are they gonna do with them? Just, you know,
sell them.
Okay, maybe I'll buy them
for money.
Yeah, I guess, sure. I would love to support my local farmer.
You can do that for anybody in Texas listening to this. If you own less than 50 birds and you do not make claims about the grade of your eggs, if you're specific that the eggs are ungraded and you follow certain FDA requirements for packaging eggs, you can have your without what they call an egg license, which is like a, you know, an agricultural thing. You can produce your own eggs in your backyard and sell them as a business.
This is excellent. Consumers. This is really good information.
Yeah. You cannot without an egg license and without grading your eggs, you can't sell to retailers, but you can sell to end consumers.
Is this for the listeners looking to get into chicken, like,
yes,
egg selling?
Yes.
Now, the people that I know that sell chicken eggs, they say that it doesn't even cover the cost of they just basically do it to, like, break even almost on
that's correct.
Taking care of
it. That's why the government lets you do it.
Okay.
Because it will keep you in poverty if you try to do that.
I went to a little art show for my, like, some people in my wife's, like, yoga class. And it was on some farm, and their, like, little gift, like, party favor was little 3-packs of eggs from their chickens. And I was like, oh, that's awesome.
Yeah. You know, that's very valuable depending on the time of year, you know.
I ate them immediately. I took them home and made them, like, the next day.
Oh, yeah.
So do you eat a lot of eggs?
No.
No, you just have them and sell them.
No, because they're all fucking freeloaders and they don't produce nearly as much as they're supposed to.
Oh. Well, at least you can, you know, have them to look at.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a lot of fun feeding all these chickens that don't lay eggs.
Yeah, it's very nice. So, Andrew, I'm going to interview you now.
What's up? I'm going to open
When did you get into guns? What's your gun history in life?
You know, that's a great question. I was always a huge fucking nerd about them. You know, I was always interested in guns, but nobody ever took me shooting. Nobody ever did anything about it. I got gifted my grandpa's 1903 Springfield when I was like 13, but nobody ever like took me out of the house to go shoot it. So it was always like a theoretical thing for me. And then, in college I was like really depressed and looking for new stuff to do. And so I was like, hey, can I take my granddad's rifle with me to my college dorm, my college apartment, not the dorm. Just through it. Sorry, I misspoke. I did not take a gun to the dorms, to my apartment where I lived with my roommates. And, you know, they were like, yeah, sure, you're fucking 19 years old. You can take your gun. And so I did that, and I took it to the range with no ear protection or really any idea of how fucking shooting guns worked. And I shot it, and I was like, this is the best fucking thing I've ever done in my life. And it was just down the rabbit hole from there.
I love that feeling when you take new people to the gun range for the first time. I mean, usually, okay, in Texas, we don't have public land for people outside of Texas. It sucks here. Ideally going to private land, or if you're in another state and you can go to public land, not at the like indoor range, but say you go somewhere, you're a little more secluded and you take people to go shoot for the first time. The people that enjoy it, which usually they do, the people you take, that feeling of getting to watch someone, the joy on their face after shooting a gun the first time is so great. I'd love it so much.
And you know, if you've you're anybody who has taken people shooting is familiar with that. It's amazing. And every now and then you get someone who's just like, this isn't for me.
Yeah.
Well, this is too much.
That's usually like the mom or the friend that got drug along to the range, and then someone talked them into shooting and they never wanted to begin with. And they're like, oh, I don't like it. That's scary. And that's totally fine. You know, I don't want to force people to shoot that aren't comfortable with it. I'm never going to be that kind of gun person. But I want to convince people to be comfortable with it if they are somewhat interested at all.
Yeah, man, I taught people to shoot. I actually briefly worked at a gun shop and doing like gun safety stuff in Tempe, Arizona. And let me tell you, that was like not long after I like got into shooting in the first place. And so we talk about like the Dunning-Kruger effect. I don't know if that was us talking about that. Maybe I've lost some brain cells. I think we were talking about that earlier.
That was this hour.
Yeah. I was like, yeah, I could. They were like, hey, you're always hanging out here at the gun shop. Do you want to just like, do you want a job here teaching people about guns? And I'm like, yeah, I could do that. Definitely.
No, and then you realize that you don't know anything.
Yeah. Right. So one of the people I took, that bought a fucking lesson from me, was this like, grandma and grandpa, and the old man was like into guns, but like couldn't, you know, his wife wouldn't listen to a goddamn thing ever, you know, he had to say about it. She was like, I want an actual teacher to teach me how to shoot. And then they picked me. You know, because they're old and their brains don't work right. She didn't like it. She didn't like it. It was like her first time actually shooting, and she hated it. It was loud and made her hands dirty. And and she had these like long ass fucking fake nails. And when she went and gripped her tiny little fucking pocket pistol that she picked out, it like sliced the meat of her hands open over here. Because, you know, old people have like paper skin.
Yeah. Yeah.
And she was like, wow, that hurts. I was like, yeah, I don't know how to deal with that. It's never been a problem for me. So
don't do that next time.
Try not doing that. I don't know.
So my wife, when we started dating, I was living with these guys, just some roommates in Dallas, and literally one of the three bedrooms in the house was dedicated to guns. So it was like a gun room with like tables for working on guns and a safe. And like, that was like my out of college roommates for a few years. And, we started dating and I moved over to Fort Worth to kind of be closer to her.
You and your roommates started dating?
Yeah, no. And then I broke up with them and I started dating my wife. And so I moved over to Fort Worth and, I told her like right off the bat, I mean, the first few months of us dating, I was like, just so you know, guns will always be in my life. Because she came from a family that was not like, not necessarily politically anti-gun, but they were just like, guns are dangerous. They don't have guns. They don't use guns. They were scared of guns. And so she came from a background with zero gun knowledge and just kind of was nervous about them, scared about them, whatever. And so I made it very clear, like, this isn't something that's going to leave. Like, this is a major part of me and my interests and hobbies and, you know.
And my ex-boyfriends.
And my ex-boyfriends and how we, you know, believing in self-defense and all this. And so we had a year of, like, you know, she knew I shot, but we got to a point where we were living together and I was like, you know, we have a gun in our room for, you know, just the nightstand gun or whatever, you know, I have it in a little pistol safe. And I was like, if we're going to have a gun, not only we have lots of guns in the house, but we have a gun in our room. Like, you need to at least understand basic gun safety and know how to shoot it. That doesn't mean you have to, like, go to the range with me all the time, but, like, we need to figure out, like, we need to just get you familiar with how it works if I'm not home or something, and you know, you need to get it out. And so I taught her. There was a time where, for I think one of our anniversaries, she gave me like a card, and it was like her gift. It wasn't her only gift. This makes her sound cheap, but like her gift was like was like, I'm willing to learn about guns now, like I'm ready to for you to teach me. And it was like one of the best cards I'd ever got. I have it still on my like desk in here. Like,
my present to you is my present. In this
yeah. yeah. But it was one of the many also other purchased gifts. But I started her. I treated her basically like I told her, I was, I'm going to treat you like a child. Not like condescending, but in that you don't know anything. You know zero about gun safety and everything. So we started literally with like basic rules of gun safety with a BB gun in the backyard. And then we went out to my family's ranch that we no longer have, but we had private land. And I started her with like a 22 rifle. And then we shot the 22 pistol and then moved up to the 9mm handgun, which she moved up to everything really fast. But just watching her like shoot each like larger gun, like she was confident and like it was all almost like instantly no longer intimidated by guns because she just like got to shoot them and understand them. I feel like I see that when people shoot for the first time, like, oh, this isn't scary. I know how it works now. Like maybe it's not for me. Maybe it's a little loud and intimidating, but like, I don't have that weird fear of something I don't understand at all anymore.
Yeah. I imagine it's that way with a lot of scary stuff. And I think it's just like, it's sort of like lack of experience breeds like fear, right? Like,
yeah.
And then of course there are some people that are just genuinely fucking scared of loud noises.
Yeah. I mean, I understand that. I think especially for something like an AR-15, there's such a like loud, there's like a concussion you like feel in your chest.
Oh yeah. Just ask that. What is that guy? Kirsch. God, what was his name? The one that got temporary PTSD from, it was like shell shocked from shooting an AR-15.
That was such a great, hilarious meme for a while. Yeah. I mean, you do like, if you're not used to being around it and you're not used to that concussion and feeling the physical effects of that, it can be super intimidating. It's something you have to kind of get used to. But that's why you don't go, hey, you've never shot a gun. Let's go shoot my 10-inch AR.
Yeah, let's go shoot my 10-inch AR at the indoor range. Oh, you didn't bring ear pro? Here's some foam earplugs.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Enjoy like the rattling in your teeth and skull.
Yeah. I hope you like tinnitus.
Yeah. I think it's important to like, if you're going to be responsible for teaching someone how to shoot, to like know what you're doing, but understand to like not just throw them into something that's going to make them uncomfortable and want to jump out of the gun space immediately.
Yeah. No, I agree with that. What were we just talking about? Oh, introducing new people to shooting.
Yeah.
I'm so sorry. This fucking dog is scrambling my brain. I love her so much, but every time she barks, it's like my train of thought just derails. It's like, what's that book? Is it Harrison Bergeron? Is that the one where they like, when people are too smart, they put the whole thing in their ears that like makes noise. They're too strong. They like strap them down with like weights. It's a Kurt Vonnegut book, I think.
Not smart enough to know what that is.
Anyways. Yeah, right.
Do you read books? Are you a book reader?
I was once before kids. I don't read books now. I can't sit down and just fucking look at paper for any appreciable amount of time. I do audiobooks while I'm doing the dishes or while I'm driving sometimes.
Yeah. There's a lot of books I'd like to read. I'm like, who has the leisure time to just sit around and read for a while?
I did once, you know, once upon a time back in the day.
I enjoyed reading when I was younger. I feel like my brain is turning to mush slowly.
Yeah, same. I do. Man, I just feel like I get dumber every day. Do we just know more about how much we don't know? Is this the Dunning-Kruger thing again?
No, I think we're getting stupider. I think we spend my screen time, my phone's like 18 hours a day, and I'm just like scrolling through endless.
I gotta get off the fucking app, dude. I gotta stop getting on this.
I hate social media. I hate the internet, but I'm on it all. I got to this point where
you're such a good poster, though.
I got to this point where I wasn't using Facebook. I never got into Instagram. I was almost exclusively scrolling Reddit, but that was because in Reddit, you can get into the communities you're interested in and kind of like learn stuff and do whatever. You can make it what you want it. But then when I started a business, it's like, you have to be on social media. You have to be engaging. Yeah. And so then I have like no personal social media. I mean, it exists, but I post on it once a year. But my business, Panther City Tactical, like I need to be constantly engaging and posting and stuff. So like I get so sucked into it, but I hate it. But it's like, it's the way that I speak to people. Like it's the way that I communicate with people. So
yeah,
it's I hate it, but it's kind of like necessary. Maybe the worst thing in this world, but here we are.
Yeah. It's good for business, bad for society.
Yeah. I wish there was a better way to reach like a wide audience other than social media, but there's not. Without paying,
we should start a ham radio group.
Yeah,
we can advertise to the hams.
I'll just do live voice advertisements over ham radio.
That's what I'm talking about. You don't think that'll work?
You can only hear it one time. And
vibes.
Yeah, I could play a recording that like plays on a frequency every hour or every couple hours. Here's my ad.
You could have your own repeater and then make it real popular and then just start blasting your ad on it.
Yeah, I don't know if I can get sucked into that. You know, I want to get into radios. I don't know if you've gotten into like anything.
No, dude,
We talked about doing that class together a long time ago.
Yeah, Sam.
I am at a point where like, I want to get into 3D printing. I want to get into radios. Like there's so many things I want to get into, but like, I don't have a moment in my day to start any new hobbies. Like I cannot I cannot learn anything new. I'm like maxed out on time. And
I'm trying to do regular stuff. Like I'm trying to like take care of my house, you know?
Yeah. I mean, my house is like absolute chaos because I don't have time to like pick up after myself running around, like taking care of business stuff.
It sounds like your business sounds like my kids.
You know, we talk about this all. So me and my wife, you know, I'm 37. We don't have kids. We might have kids. Obviously the clock is ticking, but, we talk about this all the time. Like how in the world I barely have time to feed my dog. Like how in the world would I have time to stop and take care of an infant?
The real answer is that things fall away from your life around your children. Things that you thought once defined you, you don't even remember what it was that you were doing.
Yeah.
Everything takes a backseat or just disappears.
Yeah.
And you become, for a while, you become a shell of a man.
Yes, I've seen children break my friends.
Yeah, and they'll do that. And it's okay. It's fine. Because once you put yourself back together, it's great. And you love it.
You're a whole new person. You don't remember.
But you gotta suffer first.
Yeah. I just literally don't even know where I'd put a child. You know, one thing I'm trying to work towards right now.
Like physically, where do I put the child?
I'm like, okay, for like a certain amount of time, they can live in our bedroom, but only for a certain amount of time unless we just all live in here like we're on the prairie and we live in a one-room cabin and we just all stay in the master bedroom.
Which you can do. Some people do that.
Yeah. I'm like, well, I know people have like six kids in like a 800 square foot house. Like I know it's possible.
When we were dog sitters, we had a client that had two dogs. One of them is a Great Pyrenees, and they had three kids and they had to rehome the Great Pyrenees for, among other reasons, they didn't have room and the kids kept trying to ride them. And we ended up adopting that dog. He just passed away like a month ago.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Oh, that's okay.
I hug my dog every single day. My dog's about to turn 10 and he's like 9 and a half. And every day I like hold him tight and I'm like, you're going to live forever.
Yeah. About that.
It's fine. I think with modern technology, medical technology, he could live to be 30, 40 years old. You know,
think so?
Yeah. I don't see why not.
I'll tell you what, the dog that I thought was the healthiest, most vivacious dog that was going to outlast them all was the first of my own dogs to die. And I was shocked. I was devastated.
This is great. I think this makes for good podcasting. If we could talk about dead dogs
and our
dogs.
Do you want to? Yeah, listen, because right. so part of our rescue work was hospice care for senior dogs. So I have a lot of dead dogs on my conscience.
That is so sad. But that's also like very noble work. That's
yeah,
a good thing to do.
It felt good getting into it and then getting out of it. I don't know how I felt about it.
I thought I've been around hospice workers for like humans and, you know, yeah. I've been there when people have passed away and like with the hospice worker and, you know, for the family, it's like obviously a whole thing. But I'm like, this person, not only witnessing people pass away is one thing that's, you know, people in hospitals do that all the time, but it's more of like having to sit there with the emotions of the whole family and do that as your job over and over and over. I'm like, how do people do, like, God bless them for that job. But like, I do not know how people can like emotionally handle that.
Yeah, I don't know. That's probably really hard with people. With dogs, it's just like getting a dog and falling in love with it and then it dies.
Yeah, but I'm glad that there's people out there that spend some time with those dogs.
Yeah, yeah. I'm glad we did it too. And so we had some really good ones, but now it's, you know, it's like all of our dogs that were once young are getting really old and, you know, starting to get health problems. And it's just like, you know, I'd say we lost a Chalupa just about this time last year. And then Timbo just passed and both of them were very sudden, mm-hmm. you know, very, very just like rapid onset, you know, and you look at pictures of them just like 6 months before they got sick and they look completely different. And you're like, what the fuck happened? You know?
Yeah. We had a friend who's like, this is welcome to the dead dog podcast. Yeah, our friend, yeah, their golden retriever was like 6 years old, super healthy. They took it to the vet and it had like no, like its blood was like clear. It had like no, it had like blood cancer or something.
And
it
just no, like, iron, got, no hemo,
I don't know hemoglobin. What it, I don't remember what the deal was, but it basically died like in a week after like just being seemingly healthy. And they were just like, what the hell? Like, yeah. So anyway,
yeah, anyway, I'm sure that's not gonna happen to your dog though. No, I'm sure your dog's gonna be fine.
You know, I don't know if you do this, maybe this is a dark thing to talk about, but like, I look at things in my life and I try to really think about, this is not going to be here one day. Like I think about this, my dog's not going to be here one day. And I try to think about what that's going to be like.
Bro, then, all the fucking time. Are you kidding me?
I try to pretend I got to go back in time and spend time with it. And so I try to help myself appreciate moments like while I'm in them all the time.
Oh my God. Yes. I know exactly what you're talking about.
I think it's important. And I don't think it's dark to think about things because things are going to happen. Everyone's going to die.
Do you have like trauma? Have you been traumatized?
I mean, probably nothing I can point my finger to.
I don't know what it is, but like, so I'll get like a really good picture of one of my kids mm-hmm. and I'll be like, damn, that's a really nice picture. And then I'll think about, I'll be like, if they died like tomorrow, this would be the picture I use at their funeral. Mm-hmm. You know? And I'm like, what the fuck was that? You
know? Well, I think it's important to just like be grounded and be in the present. I think we're also like tied up in like bullshit that's on the internet that doesn't matter. Or like they're just thinking about tomorrow or what we have to do later. And I think it's important to like, you get to these points, you always look back at things that you like appreciated in life. And I feel like you shouldn't wait until something's gone to like think about how much you loved that thing. You should like be able to consciously be in the moment with things in life. And then I feel like also you won't feel like a regret of missing out on something when something's gone. You feel like you really appreciated it while I was here. I don't know. That's how I live my life.
No, I definitely agree with you. I just wish I wouldn't make myself so fucking sad when I do it.
Yeah, you know, you're getting a little bit of the sadness out of the way. No, you're not. It's not. Yeah. That's not how it works. Well,
you're getting the sadness out of the way. No, if there's anything that's inexhaustible, it's sadness.
This podcast brought to you by you know,
wow, we took a medication. Turn.
I think I really just try to like I think it's just important to be mindful and be present in life and not
is that not is that your you tip know, is that your end of show tip?
No, I have a whole list of topics for tips.
Oh fuck yeah, dude,
that could be one of them. Do you want to wrap it up? Do you have stuff to do?
No, I'm good.
Do you have any other questions about Panther City? Are we going to see you at SHOT Show again?
Yeah, we're going to SHOT Show. Are you going to SHOT Show? What are your plans this year for SHOT Show?
I don't have any I'm waiting on the one person I'm relying to find an Airbnb. So I might be scrambling if they just decide not to go. So my plans
are trying to make it like a cheap trip, right? Like I try to cut costs as much as I can for stuff like that.
Mostly just with like where I'm staying. Like I want to be in a house with a few people. So we're splitting the cost, you know, my first year I impulsively decided like in December I was going to go. So I got like the last hotel room and I was on the strip and it was like $400 a night. And I stayed for like two nights. So it was pretty expensive for how little time I got to spend there. So I want to, you know, make sure that I'm getting to stay for a week and like getting an Airbnb with like several people. And I know that's what y'all do. I mean, that's where I kind of try to save money, but.
Oh yeah.
My first
really
year.
Just squeezing in, man.
So as a business, like there's like a few different types of people that go to SHOT Show, right? There's like businesses and there's people that work there. Like, you know, people that have to work for their business there and they always hate it. Everyone that like has a booth is like, I hate SHOT Show. But then there's people like me that like are going for my business. And there's people like y'all that are going for like vibes and the culture. So as a business, so my first year, I was like, I don't have any connections. Like I need to find some connections. I want to open some accounts that I didn't have before, that people that aren't responding to my emails, I want to meet them in person and be like, hey, I'm not just another like dumbass that started some random dropshipping website. Like I'm like trying to build a business here. Here's what I'm doing. I want an account. I want your products. And I was able to get a few connections my first year doing that, which is awesome. Second year, I kind of had everything I wanted. So I didn't have a goal except for to hang out with you guys and like other people that I just know on the internet and just kind of like walk around. So that was a lot of fun. This year, I'm kind of back into like, now I want to start manufacturing products for Panther City Tactical. So now I want to talk to manufacturers.
Oh yeah.
And see what's possible. Like one of my dreams, a branded lower receiver, I didn't even know was a dream, but that's like a life goal I just achieved. And I didn't even plan to have an FFL like 5 months ago. So like these things just kind of happen. But like another dream of mine is like, I want a Panther City Tactical quad rail. Cause I love quad rails. I think that's the, like if you use MLOK, you know, I'm not going to say anything, you know, on record here, but quad rail is the best type of handguard.
Well, so, you know, by the time I might actually get around to assembling the lower receiver by the time you have all the upper stuff together.
Yeah, you'll like by the time I have all this stuff, I'm going to have every manufactured Panther City part by the time you're ready to assemble and paint a rifle.
Yep, there you go.
So it'll all fall together. But so, yeah, I'd love to talk to like machine shops and stuff about manufacturing things like that. But we'll see. Like the 3D printed space is really crazy, too. Like on the manufacturing side, they're like doing like grips and small parts like that. It's kind of interesting. So that's what I'm going to be doing this year at SHOT Show. But a lot of it's just like I've grown to just really like appreciate networking, which I never liked doing when I was younger. And now like all I want to do is just meet new people and talk to new people.
Well, it's a great place to do that, you know. And I get, again, you know, and we went over this when we did our SHOT Show coverage. I was shocked by like how cool people were when you just like talk to them, you know, because it's like, yeah. You know, you see all people kind of bluster online, right? And then you meet them in person and they're real timid. But the people that aren't even online at all mm-hmm. that you meet at SHOT Show that are just like fucking regular people that like work at their job are like mostly like really cool people. And yeah. Like, you know, I was like kind of like gung ho. I was like, we're going to go in there and talk about being pro trans and we're going to fuck shit up. And everyone was like, yeah, that's lit, dude. That's base. That's awesome. And I was oh, is it? I mean, I know it is, but
people like to talk a lot more shit when they're like behind a screen on a keyboard. When you talk to people in person, like most of the time, if you're like, hey, I believe everyone has the right to defend themselves. Most people are like, yeah, right on. Like, obviously, we all agree with that. Like, when you talk to people in person, most people are like on board with.
Yeah, very few people are going to be like, find Jesus.
Yeah, like that's not someone you generally encounter in person.
But yeah, dude, like everybody, did we go? Have we been there 1 or 2 years?
Y'all been there twice.
Been there twice. That's right. Twice.
I'm glad that. I can keep track of your schedule.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you.
Your calendar.
Jesus Christ. But yeah, both years people were like chill, dude. Like people were like on board and I just, man, that's just like such a fucking revelation at the place that you would expect to be like the center of like toxic gun culture, which in some ways it is.
No, you got to go to the NRA show. I did that.
And Oh God.
That was like SHOT Show mixed with your like average Texas gun show. It was right in the middle. So I'll say this about my business politically, because I feel like this was something that was really important to me going into it. I don't think businesses, and you can tell me if you think I'm wrong or if other people think I'm wrong, that's fine. my business is apolitical. I have my personal political beliefs, but my business's job is to sell gun parts. And so I've never wanted to go out and make my personal politics something that's like the forefront of like my business, like on the front page of my website. And I don't really love when other businesses do that. I mean, they can do whatever they want, but it's like,
it's crazy to me that your stance is the progressive stance in the gun industry, as opposed to like the moderate middle ground. Right.
Yeah. I mean, I heard some guys I was out shooting with, and they're like, it's almost like if you see a gun business and they're not like super MAGA, you can just assume that they're left leaning because like, if they're just not like, if they're just quiet about it, because many gun businesses feel the need to really capture that base for their customers. And like, what? Okay. Like just say that you're pro Second Amendment. That's the only important thing. Like literally politically in this space.
It's not the only important thing to them. And it's like, they got to make it their whole fucking personality, you know?
Yeah.
And like for us, like we're a lifestyle company, right? Like we don't sell gun parts. You know, we sell like lifestyle stuff. We sell vibes. We sell political statements, you know?
But that was always important to me. I almost wanted to put it on my front page. I almost put a little blurb when I was making my website of like,
it's almost worse if you like tell people like we're not trying to be political.
Yeah,
you
know? And then like, I thought about it. I was like, it's better if I just don't put anything, because like that's the whole point, is that we're not saying anything because that's not important. That's not part of the business. The business is, here's the gun parts we like. Here's the gear we like. You know, it's not.
Yeah.
Here's what our politics are, or here's, we're not going to tell you what our politics are, just so you know, don't worry about it. Like and just don't say anything about it because it's a business. It's not a person.
It definitely becomes important at some point, right? Like, because like you don't want to do, like, if somebody else is being like very intense about like distasteful politics, then, you know, you might not want to like associate with that business or that, like, you know, that message.
I mean, I've made decisions in this industry. There have been companies that have been, you know, very, I will say, like, loud about their politics that I didn't agree with, to a point where I said, I don't want to sell their products. And I didn't make that public. I didn't make a post about it on Instagram or anything. I just decided I don't really want to associate with them. And there's still there's plenty of products. If you follow any product I sell all the way to the top, it's the gun industry. Guess what? They're going to probably have conservative views. But like, as long as like, I mean, you go to like a lot of these manufacturers, you go to BCM, like their front page of Bravo Company Manufacturing isn't a giant picture of Donald Trump. It's just their gun parts. Like a lot of these companies, I'm sure they're conservative leaning, but as long as they don't make that their entire personality, then all I'm concerned with is the parts that they make.
And you'll find that, I think you'll find that a lot more with more international companies that will have like military contracts outside of the United States, where you don't find that weird culture war brain rot. And so if they can't sell that in Europe, then they're not going to put that all over their branding.
I don't like businesses that their like main concern, like they're, I want to say like marketing forward, like everything is about, like, I think I want to say on y'all's, I don't know if it's on y'all's podcast, someone talked about it, but like, say like Mira Safety or something, which I don't know a lot about their products, but say like, if your company is all about advertising your product on Facebook, like, I feel like you're more about sales than the quality of your product.
Yeah. Nylon Theory talked about this. He's saying that.
Yeah. I think it was on his podcast. Yeah.
You can tell where someone's priorities are. If they have the money to buy this huge social media ad blitz, why didn't they spend that money on their product?
Yeah.
And the answer is because they probably bought a very cheap product in bulk. And then, you know, they knew they couldn't sell it on the merits of the product itself. Mm-hmm. And so they marketed it.
And, I'm not going to talk about products I don't know, because I don't really know the quality of these products. But I will say that's the kind of thing that like instantly rubs me the wrong way. And I don't feel like associating with when there's companies that look like that. So I can't say for sure they're bad. I just say vibes off. It's like,
vibes are off. I miss Nylon Theory. What happened to that guy?
I don't know.
I think he got a job.
Maybe. That's how some people are. I was talking to, CBRN art, CBRN dad or whatever, you know, I'm talking about. They have that page and they do informational posts on Instagram and have a podcast.
It's not CBRN dad anymore, 'cause Mitch left. It's like Art and War. It's BR and Nate now.
So, the main guy, I guess Nate, We met him at, or he was at the SHOT Show shoot.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And I was talking to him and I was like, hey, man, you haven't been posting, like, y'all haven't been posting much. I love your content. And he was like, yeah, I'm in a better place in life now. So, you know, sometimes it's that simple. It's like, maybe someone doesn't want to spend all their time making content for Instagram. And that's very understandable.
Nylon Theory has a post about how he's not posting anymore.
Oh, from
95 weeks ago.
Okay. Well, there's probably an answer in there. Are you reading it?
I'm not going to read it right now. We're doing a podcast. I'm not reading the whole fucking wall of text.
But yeah, it just sucks when, you know, you have people that are like, kind of like in your orbit that just kind of drop out because, like, you know,
it's understandable. I mean, we're so connected to people exclusively through social media that, like,
dude, all my friends are on the pooter. I love my pooter.
On the what?
All my friends are on there.
I don't know if you were like this, but like, there's people I was like kind of friends with in high school. Basically, the only reason I know anything about their life is on Facebook. And one day they just stopped posting on Facebook. I'm like, well, I'll never know what happened to them again.
Yeah,
I'm like, that's just, they just disappeared forever because that's it. Dude. But I mean, that's why it's important as a business. Like, I have to constantly be posting content. And like, a lot of these businesses post daily on Instagram, and I probably should be, but like, I have a life and I have a job to,
yeah,
a
dude,
business to run.
Like, fucking Jordan, hired a group of writers, to help with like writing posts.
Well, that's awesome.
It's not like a full-time job for anything. It's just all people that, mm-hmm. that, you know, have like writing in their yeah. background. And, you know, we figured out like a fair like bounty proposed and, you know, just they help, get, you know, content. 'Cause Jordan was struggling to like, you never want to be like, okay, I got to shit out a post for today.
Yeah. You want to mean it. You don't want to just be posting it because you have to crank out content, which is why also I go through big, like, I might go a couple of weeks without a post because I'm like, I don't have anything I care about posting and I don't want to just put something out there for no reason. So, but it's kind of like if you don't post, people just forget you exist. It's like that friend from Facebook.
Yeah. Doesn't exist anymore. The fucking algorithm just like swallows you up.
Yeah. You know, so it's not, like,
appropriately posting.
I know I have to keep up with some sort of Instagram posting just to like remind people that follow me, hey, I'm still a business and I'm doing stuff. So, you know, I'm looking forward to the day where I have a rent space outside of this house and I have an employee that handles packing orders instead of me doing that all day. And I can actually focus on like content creation that I want to do and information that I want to get out there to people and stuff. But it's hard. It's very hard. It takes up all my time.
It's good to post sometimes because you kind of like, I feel like you can't listen to all the feedback, right? But some of the feedback, like, hey, you spelled your business name wrong or you spelled your city name wrong on your fucking engraved lower. You know, some of that's helpful.
It took Instagram. You know how many people, there was like 600 people that read that, that saw that post.
I didn't say shit.
I didn't see it either.
I didn't see it.
So for anyone who is not aware, I'll say this for the listener who's still tuned into this podcast for some reason. I have two models of my lower receiver that I made. And one of them, it's on me and the manufacturer. It's on both of us, to be honest. Because one of them, they spelled Fort Worth wrong on the lower. So the ATF paperwork says Fort Worth, normal. Because I triple check ATF paperwork.
Yeah, of course.
But then when they, that's the important stuff. And then when they milled out the lower and they put it, they put Fort Worth on there. They put an H at the end of Fort. So it's Fourth Worth, which is honestly a pretty hilarious typo. It's a weird typo where your brain doesn't recognize it. It just reads it. And so they sent me a high quality proof image with the typo. And I was like, yep, that's great. Look at this. So it's definitely my fault for approving the proof before it went into production. But then I got these, I'm sitting there, I have 25 of these lower receivers. I took all these product photos. I'm editing these product photos, looking up super close on this Fourth Worth. My brain's not reading it. I posted on Instagram. And then I couldn't sleep that night for whatever reason. I like rolled over in bed at like 2 a.m. and like checked my phone because I just couldn't go to sleep. And somebody had messaged me, where's Fourth Worth? And I, even that message, I read that message as Fort Worth, and I was like, are you a fucking idiot? Like, I was like, I responded to it. I said, it's like 45 minutes east of west of Dallas, North Texas. And then I went back to sleep. The next morning I woke up, and my other friend in another group chat was like, do I have to drive to Fort Worth to buy this lower? And I was like, yeah, you can come stop by anytime. Like, I read it again as Fort Worth. and it took until a third person maybe read it. I think that friend sent it, a picture of me circling in red Fourth. And I was like, oh my God. No. I was like, I have read this so many times and my brain could not see that typo. It was very frustrating at first because it's like, these are the first 25 serial numbers in a product that I'm really excited about. But after a while, you know, I'm kind of a person who kind of just moves on and it's just like, whatever. So after like a day of being annoyed by it, it just became funny. And I was like, you got to kind of just accept that something happened at some point in life.
At least it's just 25 and not like 2,500.
Yeah. So I had to send them back to the manufacturer and they're fixing them. They're going to fill in that H and send them back to me.
The kerning is going to be a little weird though.
Yeah. And, you know, my mom was a graphic designer. Kerning really is like, it's a trigger word.
Yeah. So I was going to look at that and be like, why is there so much space between?
Don't worry about it.
Shut up. You're sounding stupid now. I think when I get mine, I'm just going to take a fucking chisel and just grind it back out.
Just stamp the H back into it. Yeah. So a lot of people ask me why they wanted to buy the blim. And I was like, I'd love to sell it, but legally it has to match the paperwork. The ATF isn't recognizing that this serial number exists or this gun exists because it doesn't match what we sent into the ATF. So that's being fixed for legal reasons. And now it'll all be good. But, you know, there's just happy little accidents like that sometimes.
Yeah.
You just got to move on. And the best thing you can do is have a sense of humor about it and just not be a pissy little bitch about it and yell at some manufacturer because they have partial responsibility for it.
Well, because what joy it brought to so many people.
Yeah. You know, I've always been a person, you know, I was bullied enough in like middle school to develop a good sense of humor. Like, I feel like that's where every good sense of humor comes from, is a little youthful bullying.
A little bit of trauma. There's
just
the trauma.
A little bit. Not a dangerous amount, but a small amount to make you have to defend yourself with laughs. If something makes people laugh, like that makes me happy. That's all. If I make a huge mistake in my business and it makes a bunch of people laugh, as long as they're like somewhat laughing with me, then I'm like, okay, it's fine. I don't care. Whatever.
Yeah. I feel you.
But I think that's important. So, all right. Are we ready to sign off? My wife is hungry.
Yeah. Okay. I don't know what's going on with my wife. I haven't heard from her. That's not necessarily a good thing.
Sometimes the silence becomes a bad thing if it's long.
Yeah. Right. Right. So it's like, what am I walking out into? Fucking firing squad. We'll see. I've been in here since 1 o'clock.
Yeah. Why did y'all
just making content
back to
slap for the piggies?
You just wanted you wanted to cram all the podcasts into one day.
I just like cramming all my podcasts into one little podcast hole.
You were like, let's get this one person on. And if there's time, we'll get Zach. We'll see.
No, that's not how it was. Fucking, yeah. Jordan wanted to, fucking Jordan, my wonderful, friend, Jordan, my brother, Jordan, wanted to do it outside because he wanted to smoke a cigar while he talked to Bill Brasky. And so but he doesn't know anything about how to fucking set up a network. So his connection out there sucked. And he's like, I don't understand. They gave me a repeater when they gave me the Wi-Fi router.
The important thing is to definitely never test this until it's time for.
We learned this again and again. No, we tried to make it work, and then we were like 45 minutes late starting, and then we got carried away. You know how we are with the ADD and the, you know,
yeah. I'll be honest. I fully expected y'all to be late. I mean, I didn't want to be me to be the one that's late, but I planned on.
Yeah. Yeah.
I planned on being here on time, but valid. I was not surprised when I got that message.
Valid.
So
that's valid.
So here we are.
We did it. It was an episode, I guess. No, I'm just joking. It was a lot of fun. I'm so glad we finally got you on here, man.
Yeah, of course. So do you want my fatherly bits of wisdom?
Yeah. You know what to do. You've listened to the show. You sponsored the show.
You're supposed to tell me so people know.
Do you have any little piece of advice? Any little fucking nugget of wisdom?
Oh,
any
man.
Old bullshit you think we're all missing out on?
What an out of the blue question I wasn't expecting at all. Okay, I do have I have one piece of information that I think is very important for people. And that we get this a lot. If you have a succulent and it's really tall, it's not happy and growing well. It's very sick and it's reaching for light.
Oh, no.
And you need to put it in a windowsill.
Oh, no.
And not keep it in a dark hole because you think they just live. It will live forever, but it will just keep growing taller. Every time we see a customer, it's like, look how happy my plant is. And it's like,
no, that's a miserable plant.
Like
happy
plants don't do that. If it's happy, it will stay little in a little tight bunch.
I feel like that's true of all of us, isn't it? You know, if we're happy, we just stay in our little comfort zone.
Yeah.
It's only when there's something we need that we're not getting that we really stretch ourselves out. And
if someone's just reaching and trying to find happiness, they're just not doing it. You need to put that person in a windowsill.
Yeah.
We're just stuck
in a dark fucking hole with no water.
My real advice,
and our dogs keep dying,
would be to, if you're making a podcast, talk about dogs dying as much as possible. Because one thing people love that brings people happiness is thinking about the mortality of their pets.
Well, we just want you guys to appreciate the time that you have with your loved ones, because they will die or you will die. So just be living the moment, you know?
That is true. Don't leave, you know, some people have to leave their dogs for work, but don't just ignore your dog all day. They don't have anything else to do besides look at you.
Get a Furbo and launch treats at them.
My actual advice for people is to just be impulsive and do things, because I've learned so many things in life just by trying to stop being hesitant about doing something. There's so much in my life. I wish I would have started this earlier when I was younger. Now, I didn't want to do something because I was like, I don't know what to do. I don't know how to do it. And so I wouldn't start it. And whether that's like a certain type of video project or starting a type of business or whatever, I'm like, I don't know anything. It's like, just go and do it, because you only learn by like figuring out what you need to know. And you like, I tell my wife this, I trust future Zach will figure it out. And so I just go into things going, future Zach's going to figure it out. I just have to start it somewhere. So just jump into things, and you have to have confidence that you can solve problems. And as long as you don't give up on a problem, you'll eventually solve it. The only way you don't solve it, you know, is by giving up and never going forward with it. I mean, I feel like I
really need to live that way, because so many of the things I want to do, I never start, because I'm like, what if I try and I'm not good at it and it makes me feel bad, you know? What if I'm not immediately a master of this thing?
I mean, even if you go into something and realize you don't like it, that's what you learned. You learned that you don't like it.
Yeah.
And now you know that you don't like doing it, instead of always being like, I think I could have been really good at this. Well, you know, if you start doing it, you know, whether you're going to be good at it or whether you're going to like it. But I've started living that way with my video business. And I just started saying yes to every single project that came my way. And I learned a bunch. And then with this, I just like, fuck it, I'll start a business in the gun space. Why not? Like, I know I'm not going to make any money. I know it's super competitive. I know it's a race to the bottom, but I want to do it. So I'll figure it out. And that's my tidbit of wisdom. Just go do things and you'll figure it out. Jordan, I wish you were here, but me and Andrew had a much better time with his dog barking the whole time.
Yeah, we're gonna put Millie in the show notes.
Perfect.
Contribute. All right, man. Peace out. Go have dinner. And please continue selling your products and working up to a whole rifle that I can buy and never use.
I will soon. Goodbye. I love you.